This is the last of my recordings with Grandma Renee. I combined the last two into a longer version because this, to me, was the most interesting. Please pardon my voice right now. I'm a bit congested and nasally. We get into the amount of travel she had done being in a military family. We talked about her time in Alabama and how different it was with the racial tension going on out there. I think it's pretty obvious how deeply this affected her. I mean, she went into depth about it for 15 minutes. So it definitely bothered her during that time in her life. But we talk about Hawaii, Korea, Ohio. We share some complaints about airports, and we chat a bit about late-night TV. I really would like to touch on more topics with Grandma, so hopefully we can get that done soon. If you have any suggestions of anything I missed or anything you would like to hear her speak about, please let me know. This one here lasts about 35 minutes, so it is the longest one. Enjoy!
You see, I'm trying to think of what Dad in the Air Force. It seems to me that...
Well, you guys did quite a bit of traveling.
Oh, that was...
That's probably...
You see, and we weren't there very long. That's each time. You know, I mean, a year or two. So it wasn't as... That's what... It was a bitty... it wasn't a sort of... what should I say... a real career that he had of that. He was just in the Air Force and he was from one to think, to, you know, it mm-hmm. was bitty. And it really wasn't...
He was doing well enough to buy a home, right?
Oh, Lordy, being in the Air Force was, I mean, and all our military... We had no hospital expenses. I mean, it was fantastic that we had expenses there.
Right. Sandra was born in Korea. Mm-hmm. Korea. Obviously South Korea, right?
Daegu, yeah.
Daegu, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you guys in Korea for?
At least 2 years.
And all that when you're in Korea, you're on the military base.
Oh,
and the
yeah,
kids are
oh,
getting there.
Definitely.
There's schools on the base and there's playgrounds. They don't really leave the base, or do they leave the base?
No. They don't. We had guards on the gate, so the children. Our compound was strictly private. You know.
Did that? It didn't feel. It didn't feel like. Prison, did it?
No.
It
felt safe.
Oh, okay.
No, it was a safe feeling. We knew, because of the language difficulty, it was, we had sort of a superior feeling, you know.
Sure.
And, everything was taken care of for us. We were well provided for, and we had nice housing.
I actually did in one summer when I was in college. I had to help military families move, and so the base I would go to was Vandenberg.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the houses. They all looked, they were very similar looking, but they were pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
They had streets and everything, and it was very,
What you would call upper class, but it wasn't.
They did, yeah.
Cheapo.
It was right in the middle.
Yeah.
It was, these are homes that you had a little front yard, a little backyard, and it was it had the comforts of a regular neighborhood. Uh-huh. It wasn't the regular neighborhood. It was pretty cool.
A lot of times it would depend also on when you arrived at a base. If there was a waiting period
mm-hmm.
for housing.
What did they do? They stack you up in they have apartments too. And they probably they stack you in an apartment for a bit. Yeah.
There was one time the one we came back, when we came back from Korea,
uh-huh.
we went to Hawaii. Now, when we got to Hawaii, there was a waiting list.
Uh-huh. In Hawaii, sure, right?
But we hated in Hawaii, because we went to the top of the list.
Because he was Air Force?
No, because our 3 years, 4 years in Korea was in the Pacific operations. And they counted that 3 years as our waiting period.
No way. Ooh, so you got a house right away.
Right away. And guess where it was? It was at Wheeler Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the General's Circle, it was called. And we got one of those General's houses.
Just happenstance, luck, all that, everything coming
together available.
At the right
it
time.
Was
wow.
And it just came in. So, at some of the welcoming coffees and teas and things you'd go to, I was at the time, it didn't dawn on me, I knew the way it was all happening. But I'd go to some of these coffees and being introducing around and say, you're the one.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'd say, you're the one that came in and got that house. And I said, yes, but we have 3 years in Korea. I said, our 3 years in Korea. So that shut him up.
Yeah. Well, where was everybody else was coming from all over the nation?
Oh,
course,
the United
right?
States, yes.
And you were coming from Korea.
I said, we have three. I didn't say it was 3 years of the best housing we'd had in Korea. I just said, we came from 3 years in Korea.
Yeah.
To get to the top. So that shut them up.
Good.
I didn't say it was the best housing we'd had.
How old was my dad when Sandra was born? What's the age gap there? It's like 8 years, right?
Oh,
I know. Well, I'm asking you to do crazy math.
Yeah, yeah. No, it has to be, because I remember pictures of him holding her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably 8 years. It's like the gap between me and Billy's 8 years.
Well, when is Phil's birth date is
49.
49, and hers is 54. When is theirs?
No, couldn't be. That's probably,
I would have to ask her. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask what year you were born. Do you want to do that? Hey, what year were you born?
Oh, she's used to me. Sandra's used to me.
How old are you?
Yeah. She's used to me enough. But.
So we've got Korea, Sacramento, Hawaii. Where else have you been? Obviously, North Hollywood. What other locations? Any Long Beach? Long Beach is... There's not a military base in Long Beach. I mean, it's around this area, but... Any San Diego? San Diego time? Mm-hmm. What about... I can remember stories of driving cross-country and...
Ohio. Right,
you telling me about Grandpa driving with one finger on the steering wheel because it had power steering. So he had one finger on the steering wheel and be like, don't worry, it's got power steering.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about that.
We were at Wright-Patterson, Dayton, Ohio.
Ohio? How's the weather there?
Awful.
Awful. Worse than England?
Same. Very, very similar.
What is it? Ohio, that's right by the mitten of...
Well,
Wright-Patterson
Air Force Base was the biggest, one of the biggest Air Force bases in the United States.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Big base. And that's Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was a big base. And...
This is after Hawaii?
It had to have been, yeah.
Uh-huh. Ohio.
Right, Pat.
So Ohio gets super cold, but also gets really warm, right?
It's just very, very blah. It's just nothing beautiful or nothing gorgeous. It's just blah.
People are the same way, yeah?
Very nice people.
Nice people. Oh.
I like the people. And they were very tolerant.
What do you mean by tolerant?
Of the military.
Oh, okay.
In their state. They were very, they weren't snooty or snippy to military.
Was there any place in the country that did have people that were snooty towards military?
Oh, in the South.
Oh, really? Where? Like what specific? Well, any specifics come to mind?
The Southern Americans I wasn't crazy about. Because they have that tremendous racial.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And I didn't care for Alabama. I didn't care for because I had to be careful. Dad would tell me, keep your mouth shut, stop talking. Because I pretended and I I couldn't advance any opinion on the white and black or anything situation. So Dad just told me to keep my mouth shut, just be quiet.
Now this was pre... Wait, this isn't...
Yeah, open the door.
Are you okay?
Oh, Eric's there.
Hey, you're all alone. No.
Is it? No.
Okay.
Oh, and...
What year is this?
Oh, good Lord. I would have to...
This is before the 60s, right?
I'd have to look it up.
Probably the 50s, so this is pre-Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
See,
interesting time.
That was in those days.
Wow.
And we were in Alabama. We were in Sutton.
Oh, that had to have been nasty.
Was.
Those people, I mean, just the
it was. But see, that's why Dad told me, Renee, don't voice your personal opinion.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I mean, I don't think all black people are to be, shunned.
But they sure did, didn't they? They just thought they were, they treated their dogs better, didn't they? Man, it's still amazing. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, no.
This was not that long ago. I wasn't born, but seriously.
Well, the thing is, and we lived through that.
Wow.
And I did not. The Alabamians. But we were stationed there, and Dad had to go to... Thank God, it was a 9-month school. So he was going to school there. So we weren't there very... We were there like almost 2 years.
Was it constant education for him? Always going to school and always having to keep up to date? I can only imagine. I mean, plane, they got a new... If they'd make a new car model every year for all the different type of cars, the planes, they're just always updating, upgrading, bigger, better.
The education, there was always... like a lieutenant colonel had to continue to, you know, advance his education.
And that was his... What was his rank? I don't know.
Lieutenant colonel.
Lieutenant colonel. That was his...
He got to be the highest rank. So it was Colonel Horvat. And that was pretty high. Alabama.
Yeah, 2 years in Alabama. And this was obviously, wow. So you went from you probably don't remember the timeline, but man. Okay, so you were Ohio, Alabama. And I'm crossing them off the list, Sacramento, for a short little stint.
I just remember Dad telling me in Alabama to keep my mouth. And I was never.
So even on the base, you probably had Alabama natives on the base. Lots of them, yeah? Oh, man.
Oh, I just had to... They knew with me being English that I would be lenient.
Uh-huh.
See, because the English people... I mean, they're lenient over there. I mean, there are no black people in England.
No.
So we didn't have the experience of living with them. Now, so, but I just was always of the opinion that I judge people as I found them.
Sure.
But in Alabama, you can't do that. You judge the person by their color. Not by how nice you are.
Right.
Or are you pleasant, or are you this, or are you that, or are you brilliant, or are you whatever. You're either white or you're black. And that sat wrong with me, but I had to push that down.
You had the entire, the whole, I'm sure a majority of the country felt the same way you felt. But
no.
No?
You don't think Southerners are Southerners.
Well, but you've got, all right, what about your like Californias?
Visitors. But there again, Dad said, you would say to me, don't discuss it. Don't discuss the racial thing with
what was it,
anybody.
I'm sorry, I'm going to go back here. In L.A., what was it like in L.A. at that time? I mean, people weren't walking around using the N-word.
And, No. This N-word... I have never liked that. I never liked that word.
That's kind of gross coming out. If you say it, well, it's gross coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, and I don't ever remember anybody in my house or in our company or any ever saying the word nigger. People just didn't.
Until you got to Alabama, probably.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They used it freely.
But I mean, But to them, if they would just say, oh, those niggers, and, you know. But I mean, you had to let it rub off your...
Yeah.
Rub off your head, because if you'd objected, but you just wouldn't.
Right.
But I remember Dad just always warning me. Always warning me. Just keep quiet.
Yes.
But I got through it. And but I do remember there were nice people and there were crummy people. But I just remember going into the store. Oh, that was another thing I had to do. Oh, I had to be so careful. There was the black entrance and the white entrance.
Oh, in the commissary?
Everywhere.
Even on a military store? Base, on a commissary.
Seeing that I can't be positive about.
Oh, jeez.
I can't.
That's
be
right. They would have a separate drinking fountain.
I can't. And one time, Dad, you would get furious. So he said, "Stop it!" And I, oh my God. So I did, because. If a white Alabamian had seen me drinking at the black drinking fountain, God knows what they would have said to me. They would have said that. Dad said, they will start calling you a nigger lover.
Oh,
and
geez.
That is what they call people like me.
So if you were sympathetic, you were
a nigger lover.
Oh my gosh.
And that's it. I mean, literally. To your face, you would be called a nigger lover.
Oh my goodness.
So you say to me, stop doing it. Don't do that. So I really did have to be careful when I lived in Montgomery in Alabama.
Oh, you were in Montgomery, Alabama.
We were in Montgomery, Alabama.
That is the heart and the thick of it, wasn't it?
The capital.
Did you watch the Martin Luther King speech? Was that on? Was that televised? Was that a big event? You don't remember?
You wouldn't have watched it openly with a bunch of Alabamians.
You probably weren't in Alabama at the time. Right?
I don't. Oh my gosh. To tell you the truth, I really don't remember. All I remember is Dad warning me and telling me to shut up and keep my mouth quiet. And
or you get a label.
Well, they would have called me a nickel. He said, "You will be, and they will, burn on your house at night. Burn a flag, a light of
across." Oh my gosh! Oh my goodness!
So
even if you were white, they would do that.
Oh, especially if you were white.
So it was almost worse if you were white and you were sympathetic to their plight.
But black, they didn't care about that. They weren't counting. It was only if you were white.
Oh, jeez.
But see, I was, I distinctly remember, and Dad telling me, if you warning so, I was on the alert.
This is amazing to me that
when I went on a bus, whenever I sat, I could have sat anywhere on a bus, but as a white person, I shouldn't sit anywhere on the bus. I should only sit up front on the bus. But to me, hey, if there's a seat here, there's a seat back there, I'll go sit there.
Unreal.
But no. I didn't ever do it, but if I had got on a bus, I wouldn't have risked or sat in the back. I wouldn't have gone just because there wasn't a seat up front. I wouldn't have gone and sat in the back.
Let me ask you this. So, okay, when you were growing up in England, before you came to the United States, were there any black people at all in England? Zero.
No.
Probably not a one.
Not that I know of.
Even if they were, they probably were treated. Oh, really?
They were servants. But you see, they were servants.
But England didn't really have. They
didn't have. If there were any black people, they were. Servants. They
servants were, from America that came over?
Well, they came from Africa or...
It was such a small
they would probably, chance. Yes, they would probably come from Africa.
And they came from Africa as servants.
Yeah.
And so, then, but there was never... Was there ever a time in England's history where they had to kind of say, okay, you can
not
be your own person?
Not as long as I lived there. Now, it happened probably after I left and came to America. And it probably happened, so, but I don't know.
Did they have to go to the parliament and create a new law?
I don't know if laws are passed. I don't know enough about. We'd have to look it up.
I'm wondering if they just kind of let it be, and let it just naturally turn into what it was going to turn into, or if they were like, hey, we need to... Have a law saying, you know, they obviously didn't have the two drinking fountains and the two entrances and two separate bathrooms. Mm. What a waste of resources.
Oh,
I guess as somebody who's born.
But
you know,
if you were born in the United States, there were drinking fountains, black, colored, or white.
Were there separate stores? Or was it just a separate entrance to the same store?
It's an entrance, separate entrance.
Ooh.
Would be a set black. It literally was black and white. Or
but
colored.
But you would go into the same store and buy the same product,
you'd,
right?
You'd walk next to each other that way. But, sure. But, God forbid, I should walk through that door.
You know what it was? Is it was just a way of saying, "Don't forget who you are."
Oh, absolutely.
Man.
We're superior.
Oy.
The white was superior.
Well, what about what about a Mexican or an Indian?
Oh,
or
they were classified as black.
Oh, really? Okay. Even if you were Mexican.
If you were
South
a full blown Mexican, you would, yeah.
And they would. They knew that. Was that happening in L.A.? Or was L.A. really not?
It was at the point where I didn't really. I just kept remembering as long as I go in on the white side.
So they had, even in L.A., they had white and black entrances. Oh, yeah. And, wow. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in Alabama, it was much, 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 much.
You know, in school, growing up, they mention it, but they don't go into too great detail about it. They might briefly bring it up and say, oh, this was a period of time. Next subject, everybody.
Yeah,
they just touch it a little bit. It was a dirty,
well,
dirty time in our history.
The Southerners wouldn't have wanted... They weren't proud of the fact that they did it, but they did. But they now I don't really know. But
okay.
I know when we went down south, I had to learn.
You said to just kind of keep it in.
Oh,
wow.
Dad, he laid it in for me. Don't talk.
Well.
I learned not to be. I had to be careful that I didn't slip, so I would. Really, watch what I said.
Wow. Okay, were you guys ever in Florida? Did you guys ever do any...
We only went to Florida. We went to just down the coast a little way. We didn't get into the down south. We were stationed in Montgomery, Alabama.
Alabama. It was as close to Florida as you got.
Yeah, we would drive down, just maybe for a Sunday drive or something.
New York, anything in New York? Queen Mary landed in New York, right? Or arrived, landed, docked in New York.
Docked in New York, but we got on a train.
You got to see the Statue of Liberty coming in. Did you get to?
Yes.
Did?
But don't forget that the
arrived at Ellis Island, right?
Ellis Island, yeah. But we didn't have to go there because we were already
married.
We
were, oh, okay.
Our citizenship was already established.
Oh.
But we would... we got on a train straight on the dock to get to California, so...
How long was the train ride? How long did it take to get...
3 nights and 4 days.
Well, that's not that bad.
No, I think it was 3 nights.
Did anybody fly? There was no commercial flying.
And not in, no. Well, it would have been too expensive.
Sure. When did that start? Yeah. Commercial flying, people flying? When was it affordable?
You know, I don't really remember.
Can you remember getting on flights with...
Oh, yeah.
With your kids?
Yeah.
Oh, how old were they? With all four?
Yeah, Sandra could have been like 8-ish. She'd have to ask her. She'd remember.
So this would have been, mid-60s?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Mid-60s commercial flights.
Mm-hmm.
How many airlines? Were there a lot of airlines back then? There were probably only a few big guys.
TWA.
TWA. There is no TWA anymore, is
no.
there?
No, uh-uh.
American Airlines? Delta? Probably not Delta.
I don't know. I remember we flew TWA.
There definitely
was World.
Definitely probably wasn't any Southwest.
I don't remember. Yeah, no, I don't remember what it was. But, and they were always, see, we didn't do the arranging. If it was arranged, it was arranged from the office, you know, Dad's office. They made all the plans. They did all the military plans for us. So that was always, compact, an envelope with all the stuff done. And we would just travel military, and a lot of times it was first class.
Oh, really?
So, sometimes...
Did it feel first class? Did it feel nice?
Oh, yeah. There is definitely a difference in first class to third. But, I remember there were curtains dividing them, and boy, if you forgot to close the curtain, the airline stewardess would let you let those commoners back there see you.
Don't you dare look up here. Oh. You don't make enough.
Oh, it was. I don't remember why I had to go through. Maybe go to the bathroom. But I remember I didn't like traveling through third class and going back into first class. You felt like a snob. But we've traveled a few times like that. But with being military, we always travel first class, so it was nice.
When's the last time you've been on a flight? When's the last time you've been on a plane? Have you been up to Canada? Probably a Canada trip, maybe?
Do you know? I can't remember.
It sucks going to the airport.
I'm not.
It's always been bad, but it's worse. It's terrible.
I wasn't a good traveler, a good air traveler.
No. You have to take your shoes off. They search everybody like you're. Feel like a criminal, and you're not even committing a crime.
I remember that damned long walk. It was always such a long walk.
They've got those walking
sidewalks. But I there was a lot of the major feel. I don't know, inferior or something. Either superior or inferior.
You would feel, if you had to go and get on a flight right now, they would treat you, you would feel like you're doing something wrong, and all you're trying to do is get on a flight. It's very strange.
I remember that being, and I'm thinking, what happened then? Of course, when you consider, though, what people can conceal.
That's true. But I don't like feeling like I'm almost
the one being accused of it.
I have this weird feeling in the back of my mind anytime I get on a plane. It's just like
they're really wondering what you've got hidden.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm glad that they do search people, because there are some creepy people.
Yeah. It is important to do.
And there are some bad people today, and there are some this terrorism is not, that's no joke.
Yeah.
That is no joke, and I'm glad we don't have to do it anymore. I don't like that.
I was thinking the other day, just because this whole, have you heard about, you know, the wiretapping and them checking our, listening to our phone, recording our phone calls, who we're calling, how long we're on the phone calls for, text messages, blah, blah, blah. We've known they've been doing this for a long time. We just haven't really had anybody really say, hey, it's official, they're doing it. You know, they've been doing it since, we knew Nixon was getting taped. You know, when he got in trouble. So it's, we know that the taping has been going on a long time. It just got me to thinking, is that the reason they started taping is because of the terrorism threat. But if we really start to think about it, of what kills more Americans, we've got smoking and obesity at the top of the list, followed by cancer, and then maybe terrorism is underneath it. Yeah. But the smoking, alcoholism, cancer, and obesity are top four killers, and terrorism takes a number one priority. Yeah. But all these four are killing more people.
Yeah, but that's some of these people will on the talk shows. They'll say, "Americans are killing themselves."
Yeah, we sure are.
I mean, we're
poisoning ourselves with cigarettes, food, booze, and now prescription pills. You can get.
That's killing yourself.
Yeah, sure is.
And self-induced stuff. But
Do you remember? You used to call the TV the idiot box, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're no longer boxes anymore. They're picture frames that can stick on the wall. Can you believe that? Picture frame.
Oh.
But it's true. I don't watch TV unless I'm going to sleep. It's the only time I watch now. Idiot frame.
I'm by myself here. Now, I just think, don't turn it on just because to sit down.
Yeah.
And yet, if I sit here and it's all quiet, I think, oh, darn it, I'll turn it on just for some noise.
For the
talking.
Mm-hmm.
But I do turn it to the news station if there's nothing on during the day, which is usually the case.
Do you have a preference to news? Which station you watch?
Well, either 2, 4, or 7.
Okay, so you watch local news?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I was wondering if maybe you watch like a CNN or a Fox News or a CNBC.
I tell you why, because I can't always see.
Oh, okay.
To switch, and I can't always remember.
Well, there's a good old reliable 247.
Yeah, but either 2, 4, or 7.
Yeah.
For the news. Because some of the other idiots' programs are stupid. No, yeah. Really.
I was watching Fox News. It just happened to be on Fox News. I don't know why I was watching it, but it turned on. And I was listening to it, and they're very opinionated. And I started to agree with them. I was like, ooh, they're right. Ooh, mm-hmm. Hey, you're right.
Yeah.
And they're good.
If you find one that you agree with, you want to stay with them.
Right,
Because, as you said, like 2, 4, or 7, I forget the numbers are. But, because if they have the opposite opinion to me, I'll switch to 7 or 4 or whatever.
Sure, yeah. But you used to watch, I think growing up, you used to watch Leno? Were you a Jay Leno fan? Do you still watch any of those guys?
Well,
programs?
I just don't stay that late in my time. If I'm up at 11:30, I would watch Jay Leno.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are two on. Is there Dave? What's his
Letterman?
Name?
Letterman? Yeah. There's Letterman, Leno. But Leno is going to be... Leno was here. He was gone for Conan O'Brien. He came back, and now he's going to be gone. And this guy named Jimmy Fallon is going to be taking over.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he
doesn't show me anything.
I don't watch too much of the late. I do like Jimmy Kimmel. He's a funny guy.
I've been, if I'm up, I'm usually not up. I've set myself kind of 11 o'clock.
Yeah. He's kind of a family comedy. Like,
yeah.
He tries to cross the line, but he's a very female, children-friendly humor as well. Well, not children,
yeah.
But youth.
No, he's pretty clear. What I call clean.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't find him to be antagonistic or... I don't know if he's funny enough, really. But
yeah.
But I do watch him. And, I'm not up late anymore. I've almost said 11 o'clock is my bedtime lately.
Awesome. I used to be relatively early. Now I'm staying up later because of the baby.
That's right. Well, sure. You see, I mean, you don't know how late you got to bed with a baby.
I know. He's doing really, really good, though. I do have to say. He sleeps pretty good through the night. He'll wake up a couple of times, but he's...
Well, you do learn when you have a baby, take a nap. My mother always used to say, whenever you sit down, and you can take a 20, you know.
I think Stacy needs to do that more. She needs to take more naps when he's napping, and it'll help her.
She should. Yeah. Tell her to. My mother used to say, but I get so much done in that. She used to, my mother would say, that will be there when he wakes up.
That's right.
Only
see, if I came home and Stacy's like, I would have cleaned more, but I had to take a nap to catch up, I'd be like,
yeah,
no problem. I try to do, when I come home, I try to clean up as much as I can.
If you just pick up after yourself, we should all do it.
Yeah.
As we leave a room, like, just take something and throw it away or put it down there.
Yeah.
rather than just leave it and going to do it later.
It just makes life easier.
Yeah. But that's one of the little piddly things in life. But it really does make a difference if you take a nap.
Yeah, well, I go to work. I thought that I would go in my car and take naps, but no. I'm okay. I get enough rest as it is, so I'm doing good.
If you get a good night's sleep, if you can get a good night's sleep, you're usually all right, you know. It's people who can't get 7 hours sleep.
Hold on one second. Let me use the restroom. You know what? Actually, why don't we pick this up another time? We'll continue on because we.
Yep.
Shoot, I think we could go all. We can go all evening at this pace here. You know.
So that's it. I definitely need to circle back and finish with some other parts of Grandma's history. Like I said, if you have anything you would like me to talk about, please email me with your suggestions, and I'll be sure to squeeze them in. The thing I think I learned by doing this is that for all of us, tomorrow is indefinite. It's probably going to be muddled in chaos, and everything we've experienced or look back on, we somehow can comprehend. It all makes sense well in hindsight. And what seems troublesome now probably will make our life into something more beautiful because it's going to take us, each and every one of us, down a different path. And it's been great listening to my grandma's path. Thank you for listening.